I mean, I just ask that we just prepare ourselves this morning for this work, because this is my one message, that if I had one shot, man, if I had one deal, this is what I would tell the church. Let me just throw my cards right out there. You know what it is? It's don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. Well, you understand, if there's one thing besides just how great and powerful, there's so many different things. And I'm telling you, when this first came in my heart, I'm thinking, man, I could do this, I could do that. And then it was not very long. It didn't take long to come up. You know what? This isn't that difficult. Knowing the world we live in, knowing the enemy is very real, knowing that we all go through battles, knowing that we always get hit at times, the one message that I would preach is you never give up. No matter how many times you get hit, no matter how many times the enemy comes, no matter how many times you have to go through things, don't ever give up. Folks, it's not over if you failed. It's over when you quit. Know that. Know that. There's not a soul that's ever walked this planet that hasn't failed. Not one. Ever. All have sinned. It's not over when you sin, folks. It's over when you quit. It's not over when you fail, folks. It's over when you quit. And if we get that and we understand that, there's nothing, gang, there's nothing that we can't get through. When we have that attitude and mentality that I will never quit on God. He will never quit on me, and I will never quit on Him. When you get that, you can go through anything. That's the message to the church. Let's pray. God, I thank You. Thank You for this opportunity. What a privilege it is, God, to bring Your Word. It is so powerful. God, Your Word is alive and it is life-changing. God, I pray that we would give it its due honor and how valuable it is, God, and how real it is and how alive it is. God, it is You on page for us. God, please speak to us this morning. God, we come before You, Father, hungry for truth. God, give us an eye to see exactly what we need to see. Pinpoint this word by Your Holy Spirit. Pinpoint it in every heart that's in this place, God. And I pray that we would come with an ear to hear from You. Clear out all the distractions. God, we come before You, hungry to hear. God, speak to us, please. God, we would open our hearts that we would respond to what You say this morning. Folks, I ask that You would ask God, God, speak to me today. God, help me to receive this not from a word of man, but what it really is, Your word to me directly. God, speak to me, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this message is called Don't Lose Heart. Don't lose heart. Now let's turn to three places, please. Galatians 6, verse 9, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and Isaiah 40, verse 25 through 31. And this is just some powerhouse places we're turning to, folks. Powerhouse places. So I want to start by just giving you just a touch of so many different places in Scripture, where it gives the sense of don't give up, don't give in, continue, hold your ground, stay steadfast, don't move. And this is just a touch of what God, man, as I'm going through Scripture, I'm seeing verse after verse after verse after verse, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, over and over and over. Man, I tell you what, gang, this is a central theme in Scripture. Don't give in, don't give up. Stay steadfast, keep forward, lean in, press on. It's over and over and over in so many different places. Paul's writing equated to an athletic event. How many times in an athletic event you hear the coach or even a mom or dad, put your heart into it. Put your heart into it. Keep going. Come on, put your heart. What are they saying? Be passionate. Keep forward. Keep going. Don't lose heart. Over and over, when you go to any type of athletic event, the coach on the sideline, the parents in the stand are screaming, put your heart into it. It's the same thing with us in our walk, our relationship with God. And here's just a few. Here's just a few scriptures. I want to show you. 1 Corinthians says this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Keep standing. Why? Because it's for freedom that Christ set us free. In that, stand firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Look at the next one. Philippians 1:27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ so that, now look at what he's writing here. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. Listen, if I come, what am I going to see? If I get report, what am I going to hear? And he says this, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are what? Standing firm. This was Paul's desire, that you would be a church that would stand firm, that your firmness would be one in a place of unity, that you would stand firm in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal of the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We look at Hebrews. We already read this, or we said this, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession. I love this. Let us hold fast. Again, do you see anything that allows us to quit or give up? Anywhere in Scripture that God permits us to quit, God permits us to give up, God permits us to get out of the game. When you understand through all the athletic teaching of what Paul's done, he equates it to us entering into this game, getting off the sidelines, off the bench, in full time. I'm in the game full time. Not going to the bench again. I'm not going to the sidelines again. And he comes to this place. Hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfast. How many times do we say it, man? I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be immovable. Nothing's going to knock me off course. And then a relationship comes. Or false teaching come. Or unprincipled men or undisciplined men come. And all of a sudden, here, he's battling, saying, hold your ground. Don't fall from your own steadfastness due to others. That's what he's saying. Gang, if you've been in your relationship with Christ long, you know, the number one tool in the enemy's belt is influence. If he can bring another in your life to try to get you off target, he will do it every time. And here he says, you have to be on guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. You better watch who's influencing you, and you better be so careful on the relationships that you have. Please, please be careful. Look at the next one. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them, look at what he says, fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and have suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Again, look what he says. Fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, because there are those who gave in. There are those who gave into this. There are those who didn't fight the good fight. They gave up in the fight. There are those who didn't keep the faith. There are those who lost their conscience. And what was the result? And they rejected and suffered shipwreck regarding to their faith. Look at the next one. I love this. 1 Corinthians 9. Again, we go back right into the athletic event. Do you know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Gang, when you understand the reality of our walk with God and you understand the game that we've entered, we are in a race, man. And look at Paul says, if you're going to get in this thing, get in it like you mean it. Put your heart into it. Run it like you're going to win it. Get in this thing called faith. Get in this thing called relationship with God. And when you enter in this thing, you're never to quit and you're never to stop running and you're never to give up and you're to run in such a way that you are going to win. That's powerful. Therefore, I run in such a way, not without aim. I box in such a way, not beating the air. That means I am on purpose in my run. I don't get sidetracked. I don't go here. I don't go there. I am on purpose in what I do. That's what he's saying. And I love this, man. You got to understand, 2 Timothy is Paul closing out his life. And he writes this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. And I have kept the faith. Gang, please answer this question. Are you on target? As the way you're walking in your life right now, in your relationship with God, as the church, as the believer, are you on target at the end of your days to close like this? This was the end of his days. And he looked back, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished, I was in this run, and I've finished the course. I've come to the end. And all through it, I've kept my faith. A part of that was like, give up, quit, stop, no light at the end of the tunnel, you're over, you're done, you're finished. Hang on your walk in this faith. Where are you in this? Church, where are you in this? Are you in a place to say, man, I am on course to be able to finish strong? See, the way to finish strong is to start strong and to stay strong, and then you'll finish strong. Please hear that again. The way to finish strong is to start strong and then to stay strong, and then you know you'll finish strong. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. Come on, Galatians 6, 9 says this. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not grow weary. Gang, that one verse is a life-changing verse for someone whose back's against the wall. This one verse, when you get this, it can bring new life, man. It can bring breath. It can bring a refreshment when you understand what it's saying here. Let us not lose heart in doing good. The word lose heart here, it means don't become dull. It's talking about not coming to a place to becoming dull in your walk with Him and you're doing good. Don't become lazy in your duty. This is what this means. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And the word grow weary here, it means and you do not give up. You don't come to a place to tire out. That's what this means. You don't come to a place to become weak. For when we come to a place, when we are weak, we have to come to a place to depend upon His strength. When we try to do this walk ourselves, say, I will fight through it myself. I'll handle this myself. I'll get through it myself. When you come to the place, say, I can't do it myself, but it's in Him. Then you understand what this is talking about. Then you come to a place to realize that I can't do it myself. I need His strength in me, working through me, that I might be strong. That's the whole deal here. For you not to give up and for you not to quit, you have to come to a place to recognize I can't do it on my own. Because when we try on our own, gang, that is when we fall. And that is when we fail. And our trust and our hope has got to be in Him. Do not lose heart. Do not become dull. Don't get lazy in doing good. For in due time, gang, this is a promise. Father says, man, if you stay on track, there will be a season that you will reap. If you do not give up. If you do not give up. Come on, Hebrews 12, please. I'm going to read this. I want you to see this. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this. Folks, have you honestly come to a place to put your heart into this relationship? I mean, to put your heart into your faith. You've come to a place when someone says, put your heart into it. You know what that means. Don't lose heart. Someone on the sidelines is screaming, put your heart into the game. I want you to see this point here. Point number two to this is that we ought to consider Jesus. This is amazing to me. Here I'm going over Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and I'm just studying this week and going over it and going over it. And then I had to flip the page to get to verse 3. And I wasn't even going to go to verse 3. I was all pumped about 1 and 2. Now, on Thursday, man, I saw verse 3 and it just changed everything. You ever have that happen when the Word of God just comes alive to you and it just changes? One verse, man, it really does. It just changed everything in this message for me. Because I come to this and let's read 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And gang, there's so much about what is that sin. I believe Hebrews 11 leads right into Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11 mentions faith 25 times. So what is that sin that so easily ensnares us or entangles us? What is the opposite of faith, folks? It's doubt. How easy is it to doubt? Sometimes it's easier to doubt than it is to press forward. Sometimes it's easier to doubt than to say, could God really do that? Is that really a possibility? Could I really, really walk in faith? Because sometimes it's just easier to doubt than to come to a place to stand firm in our faith. Look what he says. The sin so easily entangles us. And he says this, again, back to an athletic event. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance. You know what it means to come to that place that every lay aside, it says to lay aside. That means to shake off, to throw down. Every weight encompasses a weight. Lay down every weight of sin that so easily comes to a place to ensnagle you and entangle you and come to a place to trip you up. That's what sin does, folks. It comes to a place to really ensnare us, entangle us up, and cause us to trip up. And he says, you know what you're supposed to do with that? Throw it down. You're supposed to lay it aside. That weight that slows you down. Please hear this, gang. You can't run a race. I've never seen an Olympic event with the sprinters purposefully in the actual event put weights around their waist, weights on their ankles, weights on their wrists, and say, I'm ready for the sprint. You're like, you're an idiot. What are you thinking? Never seen that. Because you can't run with weights, folks. It slows you down. And he says, your sin, your disobedience to this will slow you down. It's amazing. He says, you're supposed to throw it down. You're supposed to lay it aside. So that you can run. And you can run with endurance. That means you can just continue to be steady in your determination to continue to strive after him. Now look at this, please. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Please hear this. We're supposed to run this race with endurance. And all the while we're running, we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus. So in this race that we're in this life that we're in our faith, in our relationship, continuing to press forward, continuing to run with endurance, always casting off sin, knowing that that slows me down, knowing that that's a weight, we continue to press forward, all the while fixing our eyes on Jesus, knowing that he has endured and he went to the cross. Now look at this, verse 3, this is the kicker right here. Verse 3, for consider him, who? Jesus. This word consider, it means to ponder, to think on, to meditate on. Consider, meditate, think on Jesus who endured the hostility, who pursued, who went through it. Now this is all the while you and I fixing our eyes on Jesus, meditating on Jesus, considering Jesus, who what? He went through and endured the hostility of sinners against him. Now why? What did he do? He went to the cross. He was betrayed by one of his own. He was beaten, he was arrested, he was falsely accused, he was lied about. Anyone here been lied about, falsely accused? Anyone here been betrayed by someone you love? And then he goes to a place to be beaten, mocked, spit on, shamed, stripped, whipped, put on a cross. And he says this. You and I come to a place to consider Jesus and all that he endured. When you fix your eyes on that and you meditate on that, then he says this, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Gang, when I read this and I began to really dive into this on Thursday, I had this thing ready to go. And then when I flipped the page to read verse 3, here, I'm studying run the race, man, run with endurance. And I'm just the weight of sin. I'm just going over this. And then I flip the page to read one more verse. I love to read before and I love to read after to keep everything in proper context. And I came across this. I always look at Jesus as my king. He's the greatest king. He is the one true living king of kings. And gang, when you understand what your king did for you, please hear this. Don't miss this, man. Tee this off. When you understand what your king, your leader, you're the one who put himself on a cross and endured everything for you, that when you look and you consider all that Jesus did for me, there will be no quitting me. All that Jesus did for me, knowing what he endured, knowing at the hand of all the hostility, knowing that he has been betrayed. There's times that I have been betrayed. He has been lied about and falsely accused. There's times that I've been lied about and falsely accused. And then you come to a point to see all that he did on the cross, the beating beating that he took for you, and even where God Almighty turned his back on his own son, for the wrath of God was poured out on him so it wouldn't have to be on me. And my king, my leader, did all of that for me. Gang, how does that not just breathe new life in you? How does that not come to a place to say, because of what he did for me, man, that strengthens me. That causes me not to quit. That causes me to press forward, knowing what my king, what my general did for me. Gang, when you understand battle, when the general goes and the soldiers know that the general will sacrifice everything for them, the soldiers are willing to give their life for their general. Do you know that? And we have the greatest general and the greatest king who didn't have to but chose to give his life for us. And man, when you consider that, is there anything that you can't go through when you have fixed your eyes on all that he has done for you? And in that, you can say, I'm not going to grow weary, and I'm not going to grow tired, because of all of what my king did for me, there's no quitting me. Can you get that this morning? Can you come to a place to consider him who endured such hostility by the sinners against himself so that you will not grow weary and lose heart? And in that, there will be strength, and there will be comfort, and there will be courage. What happens when all of a sudden, in a moment, you gain courage? What happens all of a sudden, in a moment, when you're thinking about all that your king did for you? All of a sudden, there is comfort, and all of a sudden, there's the strength that comes back. And then all of a sudden, your chest comes out, and there, all of a sudden, there is new breath, and there's new strength in you. And all of a sudden, there is now this courage that has been depleted. And you come to a place to say, in him, I can do anything. It's powerful. And I see a picture of this in Acts 4 and Acts 5. I see a picture where Peter and John, man, and this is after the resurrection. They have known and understood. Man, they had a flip in their relationship with Christ. They have now understood he is the Messiah. He is everything that he said he was. And we saw him ascend. That is our King. And they went on an absolute amazing way to follow and serve and to live and to give their lives over and over and over. In Acts 4, it comes to a place where Peter and John are going to the temple. They heal a young man in his lame leg. And all of a sudden now the Pharisees and the scribes and all these who put Jesus to the cross come against Peter and John. You can't talk about him being resurrected. You can't talk about in his name. And all of a sudden there's all these signs and these wonders that are taking place. So now all the scribes and the chief priests, their backs against the wall going, we made up a lie in Matthew 28 that you, the disciples, stole his body. Therefore, he's not, this whole resurrection thing, we got to put that thing to bed because that's a lie. But yet now they have all these signs and wonders and miracles taking place in the name of Jesus. And these guys are preaching the resurrection of Christ. And they say, listen, you are not going to mention that name again. And then you see in Acts 5, now you've got all 12 men. You've got the apostles now. And they come just fired up out of the box. And they start preaching Jesus. The Bible says that 3,000 come to the church. And you see 5,000 come to the church. And then day after day, numbers were being added to the church. And Jerusalem was being flipped upside down. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they are losing their lid going, you can't do this. And they arrest all 12 of them. Put them in jail. You're no longer to teach and preach in his name. You're no longer to recognize the resurrection. And again, their backs are against the wall because these guys are, signs and wonders are following the name of Jesus. And people are being healed and people are being set free from demonic activity. It's just intense. It's an amazing work. And they get jailed. 12 of them in jail. The Bible says an angel of the Lord showed up, opened the gate, released them. Didn't say, oh, flee and run. He said, go back to the center and begin to preach again. So here the council says, okay, go get those who we put in jail and bring them to us. And they go and they look in jail and there's nobody there. They're like, what? They question the guards like, we didn't see anything. And then word gets them, well, actually, they didn't flee. They're just in the middle of town again preaching in the name of Jesus. We'll bring them before us. And again, they go before all 12. They go before the council. And then one of the teachers, Gamaliel, speaks up and say, listen, if this thing is false, it'll just pass. But no, we have to release him. So the brilliance in Acts 5, this is amazing. Acts 5 verse 40 said they took the apostles and they warned them, don't ever preach in this name again. And then the Bible says they flogged them. That means they beat them severely with 39 lashes. Could you imagine? such a severe punishment. Getting whipped and beat 39 times. You think maybe that would deflate you a little bit. You think maybe that would cause you to doubt. You think maybe, is it worth it? But what a scene. In Acts 5, verse 41, the Bible says, the apostles left rejoicing because they were considered worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Could you imagine those who just got beat severely? Could you imagine the council? Could you imagine the ones who actually did the beating, actually did the flogging, did the whipping? When they see the 12 and the 12 are walking and they're dancing and they're praising and they're rejoicing, they're like, well, that didn't work. Why? Because the Bible says in Acts 3 and Acts 4 that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and in that was brought confidence and boldness, and they were unashamed of the gospel. And they even told them, are we here to please you or are we here to please God? We can't ignore what we know and what we have seen. And that just built such confidence. After being beaten, after being whipped, they come to a place to rejoice. Man, we were considered worthy. God saw fit for us to take punishment for his name. And they said, wow. Let us dance and let us rejoice and let it bring. That's amazing, gang. It's a shame in the church today that we stub our toe and we just whine for a week. Blame God for everything that goes wrong. You come to a place to have this Eeyore attitude. You know who Eeyore is? Let me show you a picture. You ever see any Christians who look like this? I mean, no, I'm serious. It's a shame. What happened to that boldness? What happened to that confidence? What happened to man? No matter what, we will strive forward and we will press forward. No matter what, I'm going to run this race with endurance. No matter what, knowing that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean it's lollipops and gumdrops all day long. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through. I would say being punished severely with 39 lashes is pretty severe. But it didn't take their joy. It didn't take their peace. It didn't take their drive to win the loss. It didn't do anything. It just continued to press them forward. But how many times do we know Christians in the church that have this Eeyore picture? I mean, it could be absolutely gorgeously sunny outside, and they're walking around the church going, oh, it's going to rain on my parade. Or, man, dude, I just heard you just got a raise. That's awesome. Well, that just means something's going to break. I mean, it's like, shut up, man. Stop talking. Like, forever. Stop talking. Like, I mean, but it's in the church. Nothing ever good goes my way. And I just, it just has this Eeyore. I hate that voice. I can't, I'm like, stop this. But it happens. Because how many times have we come to that place to become tired and get weary? And then we come to a place to be deflated. And walk in a sense of always walking in defeat instead of walking in victory. So I mean, the church have this victim mindset instead of a victorious mindset of all the King has done for us. We have this deflated, oh, the world's getting so dark. I don't know what's going on in politics. I can't understand the finance. It's like, stop, God will provide. God is in charge. God knows what's going on. God knows so much more than us. And we come to a place to walk in this deflated sense, in this defeated sense, to recognize we've got to kill this Eeyore mentality. To come to a place to say, I will be bold and I will be confident and I will be unashamed. And God Almighty, the Spirit of the living God, reigns and dwells within me. And in that, being filled with that, brings boldness, brings confidence that no matter what takes place, man, I can walk here and not here. And we come to a place to say, I will not quit. I will never give up. Come on, Isaiah 40, please. Folks, there are seasons of life that we just keep getting hit and keep getting hit and keep getting hit and keep getting hit. Man, I understand that. Man, we live in a fallen world. We're living in desperate times. I think times are urgent right now for the church to stand strong. Because the world can become weary and tired. And if they see you and I as always weary and tired and always giving up, what is the connection there? Why would they ever want to come to a place that they can have new life and be strengthened and encouraged and be comforted? We walk with our head in the sand and we walk with our head between our legs just saying, oh, poor woe is me. when you come to a point to rise up. So I will not quit. I will not give up. The power of the living God reigns within me. And in that there is life. And in that there is hope. And in that there is confidence. And in that I am bold. And in that I am unashamed. Even in the midst of the difficult seasons. Even in the midst of the difficult times. Even in the midst of when someone betrays you. Even in the midst when someone lies to you. Even in the midst of hurt and pain and brokenness. Even in the midst of true persecution for your faith. When you really are persecuted for your faith, that you stand firm. Look at Isaiah 40. I want you to see this. Because I think there's so many times that we can become so close to breakthrough. So close to just where God is about to move. I think that's sometimes when we stop and when we quit. Verse 25 says this. Please see the picture here. Please get this. To whom then will you liken me? This is God speaking. Whom will you liken me? That I would be his equal, says the Holy One. Look at God says, no one compares to me. When are you going to see that it is uncomparable? I am God, there is no other. No one is like me. This is what God says. Lift up your eyes on high and see. This is what he says. Pay attention. Look around. See me in action in creation. This is what he says. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. God knows all things. He's saying his power is unlimited. Why do you say, O Jacob? Or look at verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? Look at what he says. Does not become weary. He does not tire. You know what God's saying? Listen, when you look to me and you lift your eyes up and you come and you understand that I have no equal and you recognize that I am the creator of all and I am all powerful and nothing's difficult for me. And then you come to realize that in me, I never get tired. I never blink. I never miss an inch. I miss nothing, God says. For my understanding is inscrutable. He says, it is without measure. You can't even fathom how deep God goes. You can come to a place to try to figure it out and you get tired trying to figure out. When you think you figured out God and then you understand, man, he is so beyond my mindset. I can't even imagine how great and powerful and almighty God is because he is unsearchable. To a place of how deep he goes. It's amazing when you get this. And then he says this, all to come to this place. Verse 29, and he gives strength to the weary. He says, I do not become weary or tired. My understanding is without measure. And he says, I give strength to the weary. Again, we come back to a place to say, your strength has got to come from him. If we think we can muscle through this thing on our own, if we think we can muscle through the hurt and pain of a broken relationship all on our own, if we think we can muscle through the hurt of betrayal and the hurt of lies and people have the hurt of persecution at times, if we think that we can muscle through that all on our own, we will become very tired. And we come to a point, a breaking point of giving up when we do it on our own. But God Almighty, the creator of the universe, says this, I give you strength. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. This is a promise of God. I love this. Verse 30 says this, and this is the whole deal right here. Yet those who wait, those who hope, those who look for, those who expect the Lord. He's talking to those who are weary. He's talking to those who are tired. He's talking to those who are about to give up. He reminds them of who he is. He reminds them of his great power and ability. He reminds them, I don't miss an inch. He says, yet those who hope in me, those who look to me, those who wait on me, those who expect me, look what he says, they will gain new strength. You know what that is, folks? That is a fresh strength. And amazing that in him, we can have this fresh strength. And then he says, they will mount up with wings like eagles. Isn't it incredible? When we come to Him in all of His power and strength and all of His ability, we come to this place to say, I'm done doing it myself. I have come to this place to hope in Him, to trust in Him, to do it His way. My life, His way. I'm in. He says, in that, then you will mount up with wings like eagles. You ever see an eagle just in soar mode? They are just up. They flapped enough, and now they're just beelining, man. They are in. You know how effortless that is? Have you ever seen an eagle in just absolute soar mode? Mount up means soar like an eagle. Eagle doesn't flap its wings and isn't always constantly moving and all hectic and all crazy. Listen, God created the eagle and He says, look at the eagle. Look at how he flies. Look at how he soars. It's effortless. And you come to a place when you come to the end of your rope and you come to that place of being tired and weary as a Christian now, as a believer, as the church, you come to this place to be so ready to give up and quit. He says, if you were to put your hope in me, if you were to put your trust in me, if you come back to a place to be with me, then I will renew your strength and I will cause you to mount up and you will soar again and it will be effortless. And he says this is amazing. And in that you will run and not get tired. And you will walk and you will not faint. What a promise. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. Folks, my one message to the church is you can't quit. And you leave this place, whether you're at a place where it's not even an option to quit. You're at a place where you're hurting and broken. That you can leave this place, amen. When I consider all that Jesus did for me, there will be no quitting me. There will be no quitting me. Look what happens when the enemy comes and he whispers to you, checkmate. I've got you cornered. Your game is over. I win. Checkmate. What happens when you come to a place to understand Jesus on a cross? So much us meditating and considering all that Jesus did for us. When the enemy comes and he whispers, and he will whisper, checkmate, over. You have no more moves left. I tell you, those are the moments that I come back to a place to say, well, I have considered Jesus on a cross for me. Checkmate, enemy. Because the Bible tells me that in that move, you have become defeated. And in that move, Christ has given us the great victory over sin and over death by His resurrection. And we in turn come back to a place in our spirits and our hearts to say, no, 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 enemy, you've got it wrong. It's checkmate. You're out of moves. I've come to a place to put my hope in the Lord. And in that, I have got new strength. And in that, I have arisen to a place to mount up with wings like eagles. And in that, I will run again. And I will not be tired. And I will walk again. And I will not grow weary. I will not quit. Folks, where are you in this morning? Where are you in this morning? You feel like the enemy has just pounded you and pounded you and pounded you? May I please remind you that you are to consider Christ. Maybe He has pounded and pounded and pounded your marriage, your relationship. Maybe He has pounded and pounded your finances. Maybe you've come to a place this morning as a Christian, man, as a believer. So, man, I'm about to throw it in, man. I'm about to throw in the towel. I am done with this. Can I tell you that seems like that's the easy road at times. It's easier to quit than to press on. Sometimes when you're in the 12th round, man, and you're getting pounded, it's easier just to lay on the mat to stand up again. Maybe this morning, man, maybe you see all that Jesus has done for you, and you see over and over, we are told through Scripture, mount up, stand firm, be steadfast, stay on course, keep the faith, finish the course. Finish the course. Father, please, this morning, God, that we as the church will never quit, will never give up on you, God, knowing that all that you have promised us, you are faithful. You are always faithful. God, you know us as no one else does. You know exactly where we're at this morning, God. And please, folks, can I pray for you, please? And if you're in a place, God, you know where I'm at right now, and I need new strength. Just put your hand in the air, please, right now. Put it in the air. I just want to pray for you. God, you know where I'm at right now, and I need new strength, God. I need new strength. God, I want to know what it is to mount up. God, I want to know what it is to never want to quit, to always trust in you, to have my hope in you, to depend on you and trust in you. God, I want to rise up to be able to soar like an eagle. God, I want to walk through this at times that is effortless because, God, I know that you are faithful and I know that I can trust in you. And, God, my hope is not in me. My hope is not in man. My hope is not in my resources. My hope is in you, God. I look to you. I expect from you. God, in that, I lay it at your feet. If there's any sin in our lives, folks, we are to release it and throw it down. Throw it down so that you can run with endurance. God, we want to soar effortlessly. God, I need new strength. God, I'm asking, please, that you would bring new strength and comfort and courage to us as a church, us individually. God, we will not quit. No quit in me. There is no quit in me. Can you just put that in your heart this morning? There is no quit in me. There is no quit in me. Amen.